We welcome you all to our service this morning, whether in the building or on Zoom or YouTube. And we thank Joe for leading our worship today. Please join us after the service for tea or coffee and a chat. Tonight at 7 p.m. we are holding our service of lessons and carols by candlelight. This will be followed by tea or coffee and mince pies. If anyone is willing to read at this service, please speak to Audrey. On Christmas Day, we are holding our family worship at 10:30 a.m. This will be led by Louise and Bridget, and it will be followed by coffee and mince pies. The offertory today will be taken by Leyland and Gracie May, so thank you to them. And I will now light the candle for a time of quiet as we prepare for worship.
About something at this time of year that helps us to all understand what happens when we come to worship together. So I think about coming to worship as a bit like a Christmas dinner. So hopefully we'll see a picture of a Christmas dinner. And when we have our Christmas dinner, I don't know if any of your dinners will look like that, but many people will come to the table. Everybody's different. Everybody likes different things. There's always someone who doesn't like Brussels sprouts. And as we come to worship this morning, we are all different. We like different things. But hopefully, in the same way as we come to the Christmas dinner, and there's something, hopefully, that everyone likes, even if it's chicken nuggets, hopefully something this morning, there'll be something for everyone today, and we'll all be able to worship together. So come, let us worship God, who gives us light to see the way. Come, let us worship God, who gives hope to walk in faith. Come, let us worship God, who came as a child. Come, let us worship God. And we'll begin worshipping God by lighting the Advent candles for this morning.
Okay, we lit the first candle to pray for hope. We lit the second candle to pray for peace. We lit the third candle to pray for joy. And we light the fourth candle to pray for love. We pray for the love which is patient and kind, and the love which goes on caring and believing. May we show this love to one another and be open to welcome the love of God into our hearts. We pray for everyone who feels unloved, and for every time it is difficult to love others. May we see some sign of love that shines like this candle flame. Lord Jesus Christ, you showed us that God is love. Help us to live in love so that we live in God. Come close to us this Advent.
Amen. Maybe I should have lit the candles first. I don't know.
The lectern.
Oh, yeah.
I'm afraid I find it very difficult to not say the fact that I enjoy leading the service before Christmas, because of course we have to light 4 candles. So, as we light the candles, and as we remember that Jesus came as light of the world, let's stand to worship, light of the world. Celebration together.
Oh,
Fabulous. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for letting us celebrate Jesus' birthday again. Help us to be like him, so when people look at us, they see goodness and beauty like we see in Jesus. Amen. And as we remain in that attitude of prayer, we read from Isaiah, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And as we pray, we remember all those names that we give to Jesus. You've got a candy cane, but Christmas isn't about candy canes. It is about Jesus. So if you hold a candy cane that way, it reminds us that Christmas is about Jesus. But we declare who he is this morning. And you've all got a little decoration that will remind us something of who Jesus is. And so I would say, Wonderful Counselor, that is who you are. Mighty God, that is who you are. And maybe one or two of you could call out what you've got on your decoration as we declare who Jesus is together this morning.
Ruth David.
Ruth.
David.
Jesus, that is who you are. Amen. So, I hope that most of you got your Christmas trees up by now. And if you have, maybe when you get your Christmas tree ready, you have these great visions of how beautiful it's going to look. And maybe some of you have those perfect Christmas trees that are symmetrical and the right baubles are in the right place. Or maybe your Christmas tree looks more like this, which is my favourite Christmas tree ever from when I worked in nursery. Maybe you like to do crafts over Christmas, and maybe when you've got the children or grandchildren or friends around, you have a lovely idea that you'll do some nice, beautiful crafts. Everything, like, just look at those little pots of glitter. Oh, but then my craft times often look like that rather than the other. You see, Christmas gets quite messy, doesn't it? And so this morning we're going to be thinking about what is messy at Christmas. Can we have our first reading, please?
If we gather in worship, we hear the familiar Christmas story. The birth of Jesus Christ. This was how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she found out that she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So when Joseph woke up, he married Mary as the angel of the Lord had told him to.
Does anybody here like doing jigsaw puzzles? Yeah, any jigsaw puzzle fans? Right, well, hopefully you all do jigsaw puzzles the right way. That is, you take out the edge pieces first, put them all around the edge. Then, now when I'm doing a puzzle, then all the other bits go in the box the right way up. Yeah? So that you can then find what you need. And then the box is placed very carefully somewhere so that you come back to it when you need it. Until some child or other member of family decides to move the box. and I'm a little frustrated because my pieces have been all messed up. Now, I think Joseph might have felt a bit like that. His whole world had been shaken up. He thought he'd got everything organised. He was about to get married, and everything was just right when he discovers that Mary is going to have a baby. And so I imagine that his mind is starting to get a bit messed up now. We're trying to wonder what on earth he's going to do. And he's also worried about what other people are going to think, and knows that they're going to be pointing their fingers at Mary because she's going to have a baby and they're not yet married. And so other people are going to be thinking things that they shouldn't be thinking. And then they'll start telling other people, which means more people will be thinking what they shouldn't be thinking. They've got all these messy thoughts. But despite all that, Joseph listens to the angel. Joseph takes Mary. They go and they have their baby born in Bethlehem. Now, some of the younger ones have got a pipe cleaner. But if you can imagine that this pipe cleaner is your head, inside your head, you can all imagine you've got a pipe cleaner. What do you think your head looks like most of the time? Being straight is a perfect mind with all pure, beautiful thoughts. Do we have anybody whose heads are like that? I wonder what you think your head might look like. A little bit of bump. You've got a little bit of a wobble in your head there. Oh, got a few more kinks in that one. Yeah, I think so. Well, I think my head looks like that most of the time. So our heads, our thoughts, we often think about the wrong things we do and the wrong things that we say. Do we always think about the wrong things that we think? Well, I'm a little bit reassured because in the Psalms, it says, my thoughts trouble me and I am distraught. Which kind of gives me some reassurance because I know I'm not the first person to be having bad thoughts or difficult thoughts or troublesome thoughts. But I'm also encouraged, hopefully we'll, and the next one. There we go, that was that one. And now we'll go to the next one. But also we're told in the Psalms that from far away you understand all my thoughts. That might be worrying to know that somebody understands all your thoughts, but I actually think that's quite reassuring to know that God knows everything all about us. And when Jesus came, Jesus was pure. So the white on your candy cane reminds us of how pure Jesus was. Jesus' thoughts were pure. Jesus never did anything wrong. But then the red on our candy canes reminds us that he died and he suffered for us so that all those wrong things, including our wrong thoughts, can be forgiven. So as you hold that candy cane, and maybe we just want to straighten out our pipe cleaners again. Let's just pray together and give those thoughts to God. God, please take my messed up moments and my messed up thoughts and turn them into miracles. I trust you to use them for good and to transform me into who I should be. And let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we have messy thoughts, and at the end of each little bit, we've got a little thing we're going to read together various times this morning, and it says this. At this messy Christmas time, the world is full of mess. Remember, Jesus came to earth because he loved you more, not less. Amen. Could we take up our offertory now, please? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the many good gifts that you give to us. And we thank you for these gifts that are given this morning and those that are given in other ways. We pray that you would bless them and use them for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. There we go. Right, well, I've fixed that. We are going to stand and sing, if you're willing and able, again, see him lying on a bed of straw.
Second reading is the shepherds and the angels from Luke 2, starting at verse 8. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. Amen.
The church that I've been at on placement for the last couple of terms is in Pakesfield in Lowestoft. Some of you may have walked past it because it's well known for the sheep that are in the graveyard. But these are not the only animals that this church owns. They also have two donkeys, goats, sheep, chickens, ducks, pigs, and there are others on the way. And I'm told that looking after these animals is quite a messy job. Now, when I first led a service on Christmas Day, my eldest two children, who are now 21 and 19, were that size. And I took them up to Africa Alive, and particularly up to the farmyard corner, and I asked them lots of questions about what they thought it would be like being with the animals. And Hannah, the answer to nearly every question was, "Wee and poo, wee and poo, wee and poo." And that was about all she had to say about it. And at the end I said to them, "So, do you think this would be a good place for a baby to be born?" And Zach paused and he said, "A baby goat?" A good place for a baby goat. Perhaps not a good place for a baby person. It was very messy. Looking after animals, looking after sheep is messy. But maybe not all of you have got experience of looking after sheep, although we can imagine. But I'm sure you have done other things that are messy. And if I asked you, I'm sure we can have fun hearing about the messy things that you have done over the last week or so. And there's another picture coming up with messy things that you might have done. And I'm sure we could list lots more. And Christmas is also a very messy time. Certainly in my parents' house on Christmas Day, we have paper everywhere and it looks a bit more like this. And so we make a mess with things, don't we? But also, we get ourselves into other messes at Christmas and all sorts of other times. And so we end up in all sorts of messy situations. We end up in arguments. We end up doing things that we shouldn't do. And so our lives become full of messy actions. Let's say the phrase again together. At this messy Christmas time, the world is full of mess. Remember, Jesus came to earth because he loves you more, not less. And so although we do lots of messy things, God sent his son Jesus, not because we're good, but because he is good. And so we bring our intercessions to the Lord, who is our shepherd. And so the candy cane does remind us that the Lord is our shepherd. And so we bring our prayers of our messy world with our messy actions to him now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For those around the world that are in need, for those in our own country and towns, for the food banks, shelters, churches and charities helping those in want at this time, we bring them to you. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Lord, we pray for those who lead others. We pray for world leaders, leaders of companies, schools, charities, and our church leaders. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. And so we pray for those who are struggling. We pray particularly for those who find Christmas difficult. And we pray for church family members who are in special need at this time, for Sylvia and Terry, Rosemary's family, Robert and Sheila, Gareth, Elizabeth, Peter, Rita and Sam and Bridget and family. We also remember our friends in other Norwich churches, the work to further develop a mission partnership. We pray that someone may feel called to be a minister here. And we pray for all those training for the ministry and their families. And we pray for other people, for Josh, Pam, Sharon, Parabi, and John and family. Guy, Sarah, Annette's aunt and aunt cousin, Philip, Penny, and Trish. May all of these people find and know your comfort, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we say our phrase again. At this messy Christmas time, the world is full of mess. Remember, Jesus came to earth because he loves you more, not less. And as we think about those shepherds, we're going to stand and sing, if you're willing and able, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Hold through our love. This is the story of the wise men. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterward, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. So Herod called visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were! What joy was theirs! It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. So we've thought a bit about messy thoughts, and we've thought about messy actions, and now we meet Herod. I think probably Herod had some messy thoughts, and certainly we know he did some things that weren't very nice. But in this reading here, at the beginning, Herod says, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him." I think that might have been a bit of a lie, don't you? Because I think we all know that he didn't have any intention of going to worship this baby who he'd heard was going to be a king and take his place, maybe. So King Herod lies to try and get his own way. Now, it's quite easy to make a quick judgment on him there, isn't it? He shouldn't be lying, he shouldn't be saying these nasty things. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I say the wrong things. Anybody else? Or is it just me? Sometimes we mean to say the wrong thing, like Herod did, and we know exactly what we're saying and we say it anyway. And sometimes we accidentally say the wrong things and afterwards we go, "Did I really say that? I can't believe that came out of my mouth." Even though we know in the Bible, in Psalms, back to the Psalms again, it says, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies." Says quite clearly what we should do. But it also tells us what we should do. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the taste and good for your health. And I'm pretty sure we all know what kind words look like. I mean, in primary school, it's thumped into them, told them again and again, "Use your words nicely." I'm sure that we know what those are. Remember to use. Say please, thank you, I'm sorry, excuse me, you look nice today. We all know what kind words look like. We certainly like to hear them. Are we as good at using them? But even though we know what the kind words, what the good words look like, still we open our mouths and that's what happens. Still, the wrong things come out again and again And yet, again, we can be reminded that Jesus was pure, but yet he came and he died for us, and he forgives us for all the wrong things that we think, the wrong things that we do, but also the wrong things that we say. And so we have messy words. But we remember that at this messy Christmas time, the world is full of mess. Remember, Jesus came to earth because he loves you more, not less. And so what we need to do is use our words well, don't we? And so what we're going to do now, just for a couple of minutes, I'd like you to turn to somebody nearby. Sorry if it's a bit scary. Hopefully they're not too scary. And tell them some things. Use your good words to tell them some things that you're thankful for today. Okay, I'm just going to give you a few minutes just to use good words to say, tell them some things you're thankful for. Okay, I'm glad to hear that you're all so thankful for so many things. So shall we turn our words to one another into some prayers of thanks? Let me hear a few things that we're thankful for this week. Anything from over this side? Something that we're thankful for, that we can say thank you to God for?
Families.
Thank you to God for our families. Amen.
For being alive.
For friends. Thank God for food. Fantastic. Sorry? The singing. Thank you, God, that we can sing.
The generous people who gave to Nigel.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all these things that we've thought of now that we are grateful for. And thank you for all the good things that you give to us, day in and day out. Help us to use our words well and to be grateful and thankful for all that you have given us, in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to use our words well as we sing our final song, as we come and adore him together. So let's stand, if you're willing and able, and sing, O Come All You Faithful. Oh, there's a word change in the final verse, apparently. This is what happens when you sing things in different places and you find different things. In the final verse, which some places only sing on Christmas Day, it's on the words here, it'll say, yea, Lord, we greet thee, born that happy morning, because we're not on Christmas Day yet, so we're not singing born this happy morning. You can do that on Wednesday, but today we can sing born that happy morning. Thank you, Peter. And thank you. what we do. We are messy in what we say, but God loves all of you. So at this messy Christmas time, the world is full of mess. But remember, Jesus came to earth because he loves you more, not less. Now go into this cold world, warmed by the very presence of God. Go in safety, for there is no place that God has not already been. Go in joy, for God has already gone ahead of us, and we gladly follow. And go in confidence, for we are kept in God's care. And let's say the words of the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,